Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, it is my guess that this is not the first time that you all have heard the story we read from the gospel today, right? Even if you don't ever remember hearing it read in worship, it's most likely that you've heard bits and pieces of this story we know of as the prodigal son. There's actually an amazingly famous painting by Rembrandt of the prodigal son. And if you've never seen it, I encourage you to Google Rembrandt prodigal. It's an amazing, amazing picture. All right. And then you go from that to as recently as what, 5-6 years ago, there was a television show called Prodigal Son. I mean, it's steeped in even popular culture. The questions become, what do we do with a son or daughter, a brother or sister who runs off and wastes their life? Or what do we do when when you're the one who's doing all the wasting? Is there really any hope? Can Jesus' answer be real? It's not the first time we've heard this story. So I want us to take some opportunity here to examine that story all over again. And it all starts with the setup. In Luke's gospel, Jesus has begun his journey to Jerusalem, and he's now in Samaria. And while walking through Samaria, Jesus is attracting all kinds of people to his side as he teaches and even as he eats. Now, among the people gathering around Jesus, maybe even most of the people gathering around Jesus are referred to in Luke's gospel as tax collectors and sinners. Now, this group of people are undesirables for the Pharisees and the scribes in attendance, and they're grumbling. They're grumbling to the disciples. They're grumbling amongst themselves. And what they're grumbling is, this fellow, this Jesus, welcomes sinners and eats with them. Now, it's what Jesus is doing that has these Pharisees and scribes all gobsmacked. Now, these people, they may have been following Jesus. They may have been listening as Jesus taught, and they may have been intrigued by what they were hearing. They may also have just been sent by someone in Jerusalem to find Jesus and stop him. But you see, it's not what Jesus was saying, but it's what Jesus is doing that starts the grumbling. See, because it can be one thing to talk about grace, but to show grace, to look at outcasts as if they were people, that's something else altogether. So as the grumbling gets louder, Jesus tells some stories. Stories meant for both the sinners and tax collectors, as well as for the Pharisees and scribes. Now, the first two stories that Jesus tells, we didn't read in the gospel today, but they're about things that are lost and found. And here Jesus is comparing God with the one doing the searching, seeking, questing high and low behind every nook and cranny. For those who feel lost, for those who feel cast out, for those who feel forgotten, this is good news. For those sinners, understanding that God is still looking for them, searching for them, preparing to celebrate on their return, that's good news. To hear Jesus say that God has not forgotten them, no matter how the world is treating them, that's good news. To discover that God is looking forward to celebrating on their return, that's amazing news. And even the Pharisees and the scribes can agree with these amazing things because it's all in the abstract. It's sheep. It's coins. Who wouldn't celebrate? It's when Jesus tells the next two stories that the rubber hits the road. And yes, I did say the next two stories. Most of the time we think of the rest of that chapter as one story about the prodigal. But I think there's actually two stories, one for each son, one for each brother. Because the earlier stories of the sheep and the coins, they showed an extravagance on the searcher's part. Leaving 99 other sheep to go look for one, that's extravagant. Upon finding a missing coin, She invited the neighbors to come celebrate, and maybe that celebration actually cost more than the coin was worth. That's extravagant. In the prodigal story, there is extravagance. As the prodigal is welcomed back, and there is even extravagance in the story of the older brother. Not the same kind, but extravagant nonetheless. These two stories begin with the story about that younger son wishing that his father was dead. You see, if his father was dead, he would be inheriting what was supposed to be his share, and he could leave. So this son asks his father to die, at least as far as the younger son was concerned. And the father was willing. The love of that father was extravagant enough to do what his son asked. He gave him the inheritance, and he let him go. The story then goes on to talk about dissolute living with fast friends who were just there as long as the fun lasted. When famine hits, when the money runs out, when the young son is looking around for someone to help him, there is nothing and there is no one. He is abandoned and alone, feeding pigs and thinking that their meal looks appetizing. You see, in the story of the prodigal, the father isn't searching for the son like the shepherd or the woman in those earlier stories, but the father is waiting and watching. And when that young son finally comes to his senses and realizes that being at home is always better, even if he's there as a servant. So he's walking back home and the father sees him and runs to him and welcomes him back. Now this is extravagant. Because no land-owning older man runs for anything. I tell my kids, if I'm running, please find out what's chasing me and stop them. All right? But this father runs. He comes right out there. The excitement shown by his father as he welcomes his lost son home, as he calls for a celebration. All of that is some of the most endearing parts to this story. People remember that. People wonder if it could possibly be true, but they remember it. And so this story of the prodigal ends like those previous two. Something was lost. Something is found. Celebration. But the next story is open-ended and is perhaps meant for the likes of us. I know that it was meant for the Pharisees and scribes that were grumbling about Jesus. Because as the prodigal story ends, enter the older brother, the one who didn't leave. This brother enters after putting in a hard day's work on the land. This brother hears celebration and wonders what's going on. And when he hears that it's a celebration for his brother, he's upset. Hasn't that good for nothing cost them enough already? And the father again rushes to his son. Just like he had rushed to the prodigal. Because the father knows that this older son is also lost. Maybe not physically lost, but he's lost in his understanding of righteousness and who is more deserving and all of those kinds of things. And so the father emphasizes that this son, that older son, can celebrate at any time with anything. He is part of his father's life and he is loved. But right now is time to celebrate the return of his brother. The father is inviting his son to join in celebrating the repentance and the return of his brother. The father is inviting his son to recognize the need for grace and forgiveness for all, even for his brother and maybe even for him. The father invites and then steps back to the party. And we are left pondering. Like the Pharisees and scribes, would we join the party? Would we be willing to forgive? We all want to be forgiven. We all want grace. And maybe we even understand that we need that grace. But are we willing to show the grace and share the forgiveness, especially with someone who frustrates us so much? See, that's the question that Jesus leaves us to ponder. What happens next? Do the Pharisees understand and realize the good news that is coming to these tax collectors and sinners, news that can change lives? Do the scribes understand that they get to be a small part of the means of grace and forgiveness for others? Or are they going to remain angry and upset, grumbling as they make their way home, missing out on the celebration? And then what about us? I know that there have been times in my life when I have been both the older brother and the younger brother. I thank God for the love that Jesus gives us. I thank God for the presence of Jesus in our lives and for the gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. But mostly, I thank God for the chance to discover what happens next. Amen.